I hope he's not here to ask us for money. My name is Father Luke, and I'm not here to ask for your money. I'm here to ask for something far more valuable. If we were going to interview the CEO of Google, of Apple, of all the big tech corporations in America, they would tell us today that what is far more valuable in their eyes than money is the time and the attention of human beings. I am here today not to ask for your money. I am here to humbly ask for the gift of your time and the gift of your attention, what is most valuable in God's eyes. My name is Father Luke, and I'm a priest of this archdiocese. I'm originally from Topeka. And when I was growing up, when I was in grade school, high school, I kind of bought the lie. I was convinced that every priest in the Catholic Church is over the age of 70 and kind of curmudgeon-y, grumpy. And then I met my chaplain, Father Bill Bruning. And Father Bill, even way all the way back then, was a man full of passion and vigor, and he really inspired me to want to follow the Lord and listen to him. And so if you see any passion or vigor or holy fire in the spiritual son of Father Bill, you'll know a little bit of where it came from. Now, when I was in high school, homilies with a certain chaplain sometimes went 45 minutes to an hour. So I hope you're comfortable, because this is my opportunity to get him back. We might get out a little bit early today, though. Just kidding. All right, so my name is Father Luke, and I'm here to ask humbly for the gift of your time. I'm leading this parish by Father Bill's generous invitation in a retreat tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night, 7 p.m. here in the church. I promise we will be done and have the opportunity to walk out of the church by 7:50. About a year and a half ago, the bishops of the United States of America asked every parish in the United States to again grow in their commitment and their love for Jesus present in the Eucharist. And so we're going to have an opportunity to grow in our love and amazement and our reverence for this sacred, this most beautiful and special gift that God places on the altars of his church every time we come to Mass. Sometimes we kind of live in a way that says, Jesus, I got you figured out. I got the Eucharist figured out. I got the Christian life figured out. If that's how you come today, you're very welcome. And I invite you to listen to this homily. I'd like to offer you three images this morning from the gospel today. The image of the desert, the image of the battle, and the image of the heart. But before I take you out into the wilderness, I'd first like to take you to England. One of my best friends is a Catholic priest of Liverpool in England. And I will never forget the first time that I journeyed from the colonies to the motherland, as he would call it. And I landed in London and I had to travel across the city in order to get on a train to go out to Liverpool. And I will never forget that first opportunity that I had to ride on the subway in London. Now, remember, in England, everything is prim and proper and a little fancier than here in the United States. And so they don't refer to the subway as the subway. They refer to it as the underground or the tube. Right? Remember, football isn't football as we know it in England. And so I will never forget buying my ticket and moving towards that first opportunity to ride on the tube on the underground. And I saw this slogan stamped all over the underground stations. And as I got closer and closer to stepping onto the train itself, I found this slogan, this saying stamped everywhere. It was at my feet. It was over my head. It was next to me. It was before me. And that slogan is more or less the slogan that we might associate with the United Kingdom. What's the slogan? Mind the gap. Friends, you might not know that Jesus has a little bit of a British flair in him. And as we begin our Lenten season with him, he asks us if we are minding the gap. Because he invited us to repent and believe and to follow him into his kingdom in the gospel today. But sometimes we are content staying in America. There is nothing salvific about being an American. At the end of my life, when I die, St. Peter's not going to say, oh, wow, passport for the United States. Ooh, Father Luke, please come to the front. That's not going to be part of the equation. There is nothing salvific about being an American. Everything salvific is given to us in the kingdom of God. And so we begin the Lenten season following Jesus out into the desert. And the desert is a place where self-reliance is impossible. If I were to go off and live in the desert for 40 days, and I was going to do it by myself alone, and I was going to rely on my power, my authority, my just ability to figure it out, I would die. And so, brothers and sisters, we find Jesus leading us out into the wilderness at the beginning of this Lenten season. and he challenges our self-reliance. America forms us to do it ourselves, to figure it out ourselves, to earn it, to achieve it, to conquer it. We have the power. We can do it. We can accomplish it. America forms you and I to live and to speak to Jesus in a way that says, Jesus, step aside. I got this. I got it figured out. Here's my life. You can bless it from afar, but I know what I need to be happy. I know what morality looks like. I know the existence of God. I have all the answers, Jesus. Let me teach your church. Let me explain to you, Jesus, how the moral teachings of the church don't fit my life. Jesus, get on my level. If there's any of that moving in your mind and your heart today, you have a lot in common with this priest. There are a lot of times when I find myself at prayer, encouraging Jesus, counseling Jesus, drawing up maps for Jesus, explaining things to Jesus, teaching Jesus. And Jesus has yet to look at me and say, you know, Father Luke, that's a really good idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us to attention today, and he asks us if we are aware of the gap in our lives between self-reliance and surrender to him. Surrender to his voice, to his presence, and to his love for you and I. We live amidst a world that tells us we have to earn it and achieve it and accomplish it ourselves. And then Jesus leads us into the wilderness, where if we choose to buy that lie that America sells, we will die. And so during this Lenten season, are we going to let our self-reliance die, or will we let ourselves die? Jesus sometimes looks at me when I'm praying in a way that says, you know, wow, Father Luke, this is amazing. You went to high school, you went to college, you have so many graduate degrees, you got the moral life figured out, you have everything that I should be doing in this world figured out. Father Luke, wow, that's amazing, you little sucker. Father Luke, did you make yourself? Are you the cause of your own existence? Have you spoken the universe into being? Have you dictated the moral law of the universe? Have you placed within every human's heart the desire to be seen, known, and loved? Have you placed the longing for infinite happiness and joy in your own life, let alone the lives of other people? Father Luke, you little sucker, you don't even have you figured out. But I know you, and I love you. Father Luke, I made your heart, and I invite you during these 40 days to follow me into the desert, to allow me to speak to you, to love you, to offer you the gift of my freedom and my healing. Father Luke, I know you, and I want abundant joy for you. Will you follow me? And so, brothers and sisters, are we minding the gap between self-reliance and surrender to Jesus? Image number one, the desert. Image number two is the battle. Jesus went into the wilderness, and he went not just to hang out with whatever's in the wilderness, he went to fight. Jesus has gone hunting for the great adversary of his people, for the great enemy of his people. America forms us to think that my enemy is that other political party. My enemy is the team that I cheer against, the Las Vegas Raiders. My enemy is the people who are different from me. And Jesus reminds us in the gospel today, we have an enemy, and he hates us with a fiery passion. And that enemy is not another person. But do I know that enemy? And am I fighting with Jesus against him in my life? Who is that enemy? Jesus tells us that Satan is a lying liar who lies. And so he is constantly chattering away in the back of the mind and the bottom of the heart of the children of God. Do I know the voice of the accuser, of the tempter in my life? Am I even situationally aware that I'm in the midst of a battle for my life and for my freedom? Satan sometimes looks at us and he says, you know what? I am winning so much right now in America. And we look at Satan and say, what do you mean? We didn't even know that we're fighting. And Satan looks at us and says, that's exactly why you're losing. Brothers and sisters, do you know that you are in the midst of a battle? And Jesus has come to fight with you and for you. But we will not enter into his kingdom if we do not acknowledge that he asks us to fight. And so what does that voice of accusation sound like in your mind and your heart? You are unworthy of love. You don't have what it takes to be holy. You're not seen. You're overlooked. You are a victim. Your suffering is meaningless. You got the moral law figured out better than the Catholic Church does. You can pick and choose what parts of the gospel apply to your life and which ones don't. Do you know that voice of the accuser and of the tempter? He wants your suffering, not your freedom and your joy. And so Jesus leads us into battle at the beginning of this Lenten season. And he asks us, are you fighting? Are you listening to my voice? And are you confronting that voice of the liar in your mind and in your heart? Are you totally oblivious to the liar who speaks in the back of your mind and the bottom of your heart? Or do you hear him chattering away and you refuse to give him and his tyrannical voice permission to dictate the terms of your life, of your thinking, and of your living? Who is fighting for us? And are we doing any of the fighting? Is there a gap between my situational awareness of the battle and my ability to enter into it? Am I sitting as America forms me to sit as a couch potato, or am I actively fighting in my life for the kingdom of God? Second image, the battle. Third image is the image of the heart. Jesus goes out into the wilderness, and I found myself empathizing with Jesus. Jesus, your life must have been so hard. Oh my gosh, that would have been really scary to go into the wilderness where you were alone by yourself. And Jesus really convicted me the last couple days praying with this gospel. He said, Father Luke, I'm not a victim. I am the victim of the human race, but my victimhood does not define me. My life was difficult and it was 100% worth it. America forms us, if we're going to be honest, to be victims, where we define our lives by what the pain and the suffering that's been inflicted upon us, either by ourselves or by other people. America forms us to be victims on our own behalf and on behalf of everyone else in our culture. But we forget there is only one victim of the human race, and he refuses to acknowledge his identity as a victim, because at his core, he is not a victim. He is a beloved son. Do I choose to live my life as a victim in fear and in self-reliance? Or do I choose to live my life in the humble confidence of the Father's love and of my true identity as his beloved son and daughter? Jesus leads us into the wilderness, not in fear, not in self-reliance, and not in victimhood. He leads us in the humble confidence of God's presence, his sacrifice, and his love. Your God wants into your mind and into your heart. And so I invite you now to join me at 7 o'clock tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night, as we give Jesus the opportunity to increase our love and our awareness of what the gift of the Eucharist is, of what it means, and of why it is the ultimate game changer in America today. Sometimes we come to Mass and we just kind of think, I've done this 10,000 times in my life. I got it all figured out. I want to challenge that narrative in your mind and heart and ask you if you have any awareness of what actually is happening when you're at Mass. St. John Vianney told his spiritual children that if we knew what happened at Mass, we would die of joy. We receive that most incredible gift of Jesus in the Eucharist placed in our hands every time we're at Mass. And 90% of the time, we leave completely unchanged because we have zero awareness of what that is, and we do not allow the power of God to come into our lives. And so I want to invite you on retreat tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. here in the church. I promise I will be done by 7:50. Father Bill challenged all of us at the beginning of Mass to call to mind where we are spending our time. And he invited us to consider signing up for a Eucharistic Holy Hour. The most valuable commodity that we can offer Jesus today is not our money. It is the gift of our time and the gift of our attention. I'll end today by quoting Mama Doyle to you guys. She would remind me often throughout my life, Luke, love is not spelled L-O-V-E. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. We make time for the people in our life who are most important to us. Is there a gap between my voice and what I say about how important Jesus is in my life and the time that I'm willing to give him? Do we hear Jesus today as he challenges us to repent and believe in the gospel, to leave America and to follow him into his kingdom? The desert, the battle, the heart. Do I live in self-reliance or surrender? Do I live in situational unawareness, or am I fighting with Jesus for his kingdom? Do I live in false victimhood and in fear? Or do I live in the humble confidence of the children of God? Mind the gap.